أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, today we're starting with Surah At-Tariq, Surah number 86 of the Quran. Another beautiful surah, and this surah is actually a pair of the previous surah, which was Surah Al-Buruj. Surah Al-Buruj. Okay, and so we'll see a lot of similarities between both surahs and the overall themes of both surahs. This surah is a short one; it's 17 ayat only, and so inshallah we'll try to wrap up in an hour today. So, what did the previous surah finish with? What was the conclusion of the previous surah? About the Quran, right? بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ. And so, the لوح محفوظ is basically the preserved tablet, right? Which is where? It's up, near the Arsh, right? So, this surah is going to start with a similar place up in the skies when Allah says, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ. Again, the skies. You see the connection? So, it's as if it's following up on the previous surah. And the theme of this surah is two things primarily. One, the journey of the human being. Okay, and we'll see journeys of several things. So the term journey will be repeated, and we'll see multiple journeys. And the other thing we will see is secrecy, the concept of secrecy versus Allah's knowledge of the secrecy. Okay, so these two themes will be recurring in the surah. There's five sections to the surah. The first section being that Allah is watching. That's the first section of the surah. The second section is, well, if you don't believe that Allah is watching, then look at yourself. Think. Think about yourself. Allah will talk to the human being. Think about yourself. Look into yourself. The third section will be that Allah, not only is Allah watching you, He knows your secrets. He knows your secrets. Okay, so that's going to be the third section of the surah. And then the fourth section is, the Qur'an is not just pure entertainment. Qur'an is something serious. Take Qur'an seriously. And the last section will be talking to the Prophet ﷺ that you, Ya Rasulullah, you need to be patient. So it's again a continuation of the previous surah where the whole theme was what? Patience, right? In times of trials and tribulations and oppression and injustice and massacres, be patient. And so again, this surah is also going to be finishing and concluding with a similar thing, that be patient. Ya Rasul, yes, you're going through tough times. Yes, the Sahaba are being persecuted, but be patient. Allah knows what's going on, and He's in full control. Okay? And so let's begin. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسماء والطارق. Again, this is an oath. And just to refresh, why does Allah take oaths? To emphasize something, grab attention, make us believe something, and to use the object of oath as an evidence to what Allah is trying to prove. And so Allah is swearing by as-sama' was-sama'. So again, in previous surahs we saw that sama' is kind of like a witness to what's going on. Okay, and we also saw that sama' wants to do inshiqaq, right? It wants to tear open. It wants to tear open. It can't take the injustice. But Allah here also swears by At-Tariq. Not only Sama'. Was-Sama'i wa-At-Tariq. And Tariq is, when the Arabs, they heard this word At-Tariq, they didn't really know what it meant. So Quran reads their minds and it answers later on, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَالطَّارِقِ. What clue do you have about Tariq? Let me tell you what Tariq is. You have no idea. And Najmu Thaqib. Then Allah will explain that what kind of star it is. So we'll get there inshallah soon. But Tariq, in the Arabic language, comes from the root word taraqa, which means to knock on something. Okay, so so for the Arab listening to this ayah, what would come to his mind? A traveler who is traveling, and usually travelers, they would travel during the night when it's cooler. They don't travel. So the scene is of night, and it's quiet. You know, at night it's quiet, right? Everyone's resting. And all of a sudden, someone's knocking on the door. And is that expected or unexpected? Unexpected guest, so it's grabbing attention of the listener. Okay, so that's what's going on in the Arab's mind now. At-Tariq. And so, journey. This is the first time we hear about journey. A man traveling, he's on a journey and he's knocking on your door. And so, similarly, Tariq is linked with stars also. Brilliant stars in the skies that grab your attention. Okay, So not normal stars, brilliant stars. Just like that Tariq, the guy knocking on the door is grabbing your attention. Similarly, these stars are there to grab your attention. And then Allah says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقُ. What clue do you have? How would you come to know what this Tariq is? Now between the lines, what Allah is saying, He's putting us in our place. And He's saying, you human being, you think you graduated from Harvard, from MIT, from, you know, Cambridge. Get as many degrees as you want. You will have limited knowledge. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. I have not given you from knowledge except what? A little bit. So Allah is putting us in our place. He's putting our ego down. You know? And He's speaking to the disbeliever who's been rejecting the Day of Judgment. He's been making jokes about the believers. He's, you know, making fun of this whole message and making fun of the Prophet and Sahab. Allah is saying, you have no knowledge. Okay? Don't try to act smart. And then, النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبُ. Allah is explaining, what is this Tariq? It's a star that's piercing. A thuqb in Arabic language is something that pierces through something. And it also means hole, which is very interesting. Because I remember reading a research paper once about the black holes. Okay, a Muslim scientist did some research on this. And what they did was they sent out sound detections to kind of monitor what sounds are emitted from black holes. And subhanAllah, what sound did they hear? And I remember hearing the sound recording. It was the sound of something knocking. That was the sound. And so, subhanAllah, Samai wa Tariq, the knocking star, what clue do you have about Tariq? It's a hole that has a hole in it. It's a star that has a hole in it. And Najmu Thaqib, subhanAllah. So science proving the Quran right, you know? Amazing. But here, another meaning of this is, which is also very beautiful, you know? Now, think of the Arab sitting at night, it's dark. And remember, in the previous ayat, we learned, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا, right? Allah made the night a covering on you. So for the Arabs watching the sky, he would think of the sky and the blackness of the night as a big blanket. And when he sees stars, he would imagine that these are actually holes. These are piercings in that blanket, which are emitting the light, which is coming from behind the blanket. Which is, subhanAllah, the nur, you know, that's behind this sama, the nur of the universe. So all we can see is just small piercings of this light coming out. So another beautiful way of looking at this. Yeah. So, and we know that light travels also, right, today. We know that there's, actually, we can measure the speed of light, they call it. And so here Allah's also describing through these ayat the journey of light. Earlier it was the journey of the knocking guy, the traveler, and now the journey of the light. All the way from billions of light years away to the human's eyes. We can see that light through that small piercing. You know? So again, another, you know, illustration of the journey, different kinds of journeys throughout the surah. And another beautiful thing is about stars. You know how darkness is associated with secrecy, with the unknown. When it's dark, when it's dhulm, you know, dhulumat, there's a lot of hidden things. And so these stars, what do? They unveil some of those secrets. Because secrets is also going to be part of the surah. So the unveiling of secrets through these stars. You see how many different like thoughts and ideas come just by looking at the sky? Allah keeps telling us, look up at the sky, look up at the sky. So beautiful, yani. So for the Arab to reflect on stars and to come up with all these ideas, it's so relevant, right? So relevant. But for us, it's not relevant anymore. Does this mean that Quran is irrelevant for us? No, it just means that we are disconnected from nature. The human being, bil fitra, he actually should be looking at the stars and the creation. He should be pondering. So there's something wrong with us. We have got, something wrong has happened to us. You know, we have been distracted from all these signs that Allah has put up there. And so Allah then says, the jawab al qasam. You know, when you swear by something, I swear I'm gonna hit you. So I swear is the qasam, jawab al-qasam is I'm going to hit you. Here, what's the jawab al-qasam? What is Allah trying to make us believe? What is Allah trying to make us grab our attention by? In kullu nafsin lamma alayha hafiz. There's no doubt about it. Every single soul, كل نفس لما عليها حافظ. There is a protector for every single soul. Okay, حافظ means from حفظ, which means to protect, and also guard. Okay, guardians and protectors. And we've seen this theme coming before also, right? The angels, the guardian angels who protect us. We saw in the previous surah that Allah is watching, He's protecting. We saw السَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. The angels that are basically armies of angels waiting in the forts, right? Buruj, from Burj, the fortress. They're just waiting for the command of Allah to come down and save human beings. And so, in kullu nafsin lamma alayha hafidh. Another beautiful meaning here is that these stars are actually kind of like surveillance cameras, monitoring. You know, surveillance cameras, they have this small light, you know, to make sure the power is on. And so these are like eyes. There's darkness, but the stars are like eyes watching us, watching over us. And Allah says, عَلَيْهَا حَافَظ, watching over us. So this could mean two things. Watching over us in the sense that they're protecting us. Watching over us could also mean in the negative sense that they're watching all the messed up things we're doing. Okay, so Allah's talking to both here. And then Allah said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ. Don't think you are excluded from this. Allah didn't say al-insan. He didn't say nas. He says kullu nafsin. Allah is emphasizing that every single human being, Allah has someone watching over him. Someone's watching you all the time. You are not alone. That's what Allah is saying here. Okay? And nafsin also, one of its meanings in the Arabic language is something, again, to do with privacy and secrecy and you between yourself. Nafs. Where is the nafs? Something inside of us, right? So, and nafs, according to some people, is your personality. Now, on the outside, we could have a different personality, but internally, who knows our real personality? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So that's why Allah here is referring to, and He's going to talk about it deeper later on, but He's just hinting to it now. Allah knows you and He's watching over you. Kullu nafsin, every single human being, your real personality. Not the personality you have in the masjid. Not the personality you have out in the workplace. Not the personality you have in the marketplace. Your real personality, Allah knows that. And Allah is watching over that personality. And so, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلَقْ. Now, after Allah swore by the skies and the طارق star, He's saying, if that is not enough for you to accept who you are, then look at yourself, look at your own self. Don't look out at the sky, look at yourself. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلَقْ. So let the human being then look carefully. يَنْظُر means to look carefully. Not just to look, glimpse, no. Look and, you know, focus and concentrate on what? مِمَّا خُلَقْ. From what is he created? So let the human being look at what he is created from. And Allah here is talking about the sperm, the filthy fluid. That's the beginning of life, basically, for the human being. That's where human beings start. So, number one, Allah's putting us in our place again, that you arrogant human being, you have an ego issue, you're rejecting my signs. You forgot that you were created from this filthy fluid that you're disgusted from, that, and you want to wash away all the time. You know, and again, the drop of sperm and this relationship between the man and his wife, again, secrecy, right? So you came from something filthy, and again, secrecy is hidden in that theme also. So now another journey, Allah is starting to tell us about another journey, the journey of the human being. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلَقْ. Remember where your journey began. It began with that filthy fluid. Okay? And Allah, He didn't say فَلْيَنْظُرُ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ مَاذَا خُلِقْ. The actual word is مِنْ مَاذَا خُلِقْ. From what was he created? Allah shortened it. مِمَّا خُلِقْ. Why? To show us how insignificant we are. You're so insignificant, it's not even worth saying the whole word. I'll just give you a shortcut version. مِمَّا. There's nothing as مِمَّا in the Arabic language. مِمَّا ذَا. Allah just deleted all the letters. You're nothing, man. There's two letters for you. Mimma. مما خلق. That's what you, that's who you are. And Allah didn't say من ماذا خلقه الله. Let the insan look at from what Allah created him. No, Allah didn't even associate himself with this khalq. That's how filthy you are, that Allah even does not want to associate himself. This is the passive form, khuliq. Not khalaq Allah, khuliq. So tab'eed. Allah is, you know, disassociating himself from this. So earlier, you see the stars, but you don't reflect. Now see this fluid that comes out of you. And think about that. What was it created from? Allah is saying, what was a human being created from? He's explaining further. خُلِقَ مِن مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ. He was created from this water that is dafiq. Dafaqa means to gush forth with force. Okay? And so Allah is describing this water. And you know, we've seen how in movies and animations of how like the drop of sperm actually goes into the eggs and, you know, the human being is formed. It's that swimming scene. Allah, now how did the Sahaba and the Prophet know about this what's going on in the womb of the mother and how these drops of sperms are actually moving? This is another scientific miracle that the Quran, you know, it explained the way this drop of sperm, you know, goes into its and starts its journey. It's a gushing force. And so again, piercing through something. What was piercing earlier? Stars. SubhanAllah, the light piercing through the stars, through that blanket coming all down. Now the fluid piercing through, and then journey of the human being beginning. And then يَخْرُجُ مِن بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَابِ. Allah tells us where this fluid comes from. Another scientific miracle. It comes from يَخْرُجُ مِن بَيْنِ. It comes out of what? الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. صُلْب is referred to the backbone. And taraib is the rib cage. Okay, so that's technically where this fluid is coming from. You know, Allah's telling us, you don't know anything. Remember earlier he said, you have no clue. You know, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ. You have nothing. You don't have any knowledge. I'll tell you, man. I'll tell you that you came from this drop, and I'll tell you how this drop pierced through, and I'll even tell you where this drop originated from, between your backbones and your rib cage. And so look at the contrast. Earlier, Allah's talking about stars, which are billions of miles away. And then he zooms in where? Into the human being, gives us a glimpse of this, that drop of filthy fluid, and then tells us where it originated from. And where is that location now? That location between your spine and your ribcage, where is that? It's like in your core, right? So SubhanAllah, look at the contrast, like the change of scene. From billions of stars away, all the way inside you, in your core. Look here. This is there's signs for you in yourself. If those signs aren't making a difference, look inside yourself. And so he's showing us our weakness. And then he says, إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ. There's no doubt about it. Allah, and he doesn't say Allah, he says he, again, because he's far away, he's not associating himself. إِنَّهُ, and what, you know, another beauty of why he's not associating himself, because he wants the believer to figure it out, and the listener to figure it out for himself, number one. Number two, the human being already knows deep down inside. I don't have to spell it out for you. You already know this. And number three, another beautiful thing here is, you know, the disbeliever has been hearing over and over again, Allah, 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 right? He's been hearing the Prophet talking about Allah. And so the believer does not want to hear anything about Allah now. So Allah, sometimes in certain surahs, he doesn't even mention himself because it's of no use, you know? Sometimes we have friends like that who don't want to listen about Islam and Quran and Allah and death and the Day of Judgment. So you invite them over for pizza, and you just like, you chill with them. You don't talk about Islam. Nothing. The moment you talk about Islam, what's going to happen? They're not going to come next time. But if you just act normal and, you know, just show through your character and just through that brotherhood and respect, they sometimes get attracted to you. So this is yani hikmah. Allah's using wisdom through this by not mentioning Allah. You know, because at the end of the day, Allah wants the human being to change his his lifestyle, right, and to get on the right track. So if that means not mentioning Allah by discreetly explaining it, fine. You know, so we're learning dawah techniques through this, the style of the surah. إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ. There's no doubt about it. He is capable of bringing him back. إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ. So what is Allah talking about here? He's talking about that same drop of filthy fluid. All of a sudden Allah is saying he is capable of bringing that filthy fluid back. Back where? Out of the grave to the Day of Judgment. So Allah summarized the entire journey of the human being, which started with that drop of fluid that pierced through, entered into the female got pregnant, 9 months, baby comes out, becomes a child, becomes a teenager, becomes an adult, gets married, has kids, becomes old, his spine starts bending down, starts looking at his grave, and one day he dies, and then he's raised back. Allah gave us like a, you know, in video cameras they have the time-lapse feature. That's time-lapse. The first scene was the drop of filthy fluid. Last scene was this man standing in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ. There is no doubt about it. Again, the conveyor belt theme, right? You're doubting this whole progression. Why is it that the last scene you're deleting? The last scene of the Day of Judgment you're deleting. You're just saying, okay, it stops at death. No. There's that last scene. Don't censor it out. You know it's coming. Don't deny it. And so subhanAllah, you know that initial drop of fluid, is there life in it? There's no life in it. It's just a drop, right? Similarly, when we are dead, there's no life in us left. So Allah is drawing like a similarity between the two. In between there is life, but you start with no life. I give you life, and then I bring you back to nothing. And then you're brought to life. So you see the cycle? No life, and that drop, life, the baby comes out, then you're dead, no life, and then life again. So technically, we actually have three lives. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? We have three lives. The life of, you know, the unseen world. Remember when we were just ruhs, and Allah asked us, alastu, that's the life number one. Then we die. Then life number two, when we're born. And the third life is Akhirah. Okay? So, the journey, again, the journey of this human being. You know? And then Allah says, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ. On that day, the secrets will come out. The secrets will be exposed. Now again, Allah talks about secrets bluntly. He was hinting to them earlier, right? The stars are watching you, you know? This drop, fluid drop that happens in secrecy, that relationship. Now, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ. On that day, these secrets will be exposed. And sara'ir is a very beautiful word actually in the Arabic language. It's not sir. The word for secret in the Arabic language is sir. But sarira, the plural of sarira is sara'ir. The singular of sara'ir is sarira. Okay? Which is more than a secret. It's that extremely, extremely top secret that only who knows? That only you know. Nobody else knows. That's called sarira. And so here Allah's, remember earlier he says, in kullu nafsin lamma alayha hafiz, every human being there is someone watching over you. Allah's reminding us that that top secret that you have with yourself, Allah knows about it. And you know this, you know earlier we saw mutaffifin, their crimes, they do them in secret, right? Without the customer knowing, right? Al-maw'uda, being buried, no one knows about it. The crimes of the war and torture and mass graves, these are things that happen with very few people knowing. These are secrets. So Allah is saying these sara'ir, they will come out on that day. And they will be out in the open, exposing. Tubla means to expose. And tubla also means from ibtila, which means put on trial, to be tested. Now, just one side advice here. So sarira, you know how like sometimes we hear of stories of human beings, even Muslims, who on their deathbed, they are told to say La ilaha illallah, but they're not able to say it, right? They die on like There's stories of someone who's dying singing a song, or someone dying asking for cigarettes. Someone's dying on his deathbed and he's asking for his money with his bag that has money. So, you know, a believer could live his whole life thinking in hope that he is going to Jannah, but sometimes that end is not pleasant. And we will be raised based on that ending. That ending is what matters. Remember, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Oh Allah, guide me on that path. Get me on that path. Make sure I stay on that path. Help me progress on that path and help me die on that path. That's hidayah. That's why we have to keep on asking for this hidayah seriously, because you know, if our ending is not a happy ending, then it's game over. We're finished. And so the ulama say, what is the cause of these bad endings? And so the answer is these sariras that the human being has between him and himself. These hidden sins that the human being has between him and himself, that he keeps there. He never makes an effort to get rid of them. So it's as if the human being has, this believer, Allah saying, has two faces. He has two personalities. One out in the open, and then one when he's all alone with himself, that sarira. And so ulama say that that sarira, that disease, that hidden disease, that hidden secret, that is actually the cause of this su'ul khatima. May Allah protect us from this su'ul khatima. You know? And so another definition of taqwa is you being able to take your heart out, which has all the sara'ir, take it out, put it on a plate, and then walk around with it. And not be ashamed of what's in it. You're fully, you see, like what people see is what you really are. There's no double personalities, there's no nifaq, no hypocrisy. Because what is nifaq essentially? What's on the outside is different than what's on the inside, right? So this is what taqwa is, guys. This is what this should be our goal. To purify ourselves, do that tazkiyah to the point where we have nothing to hide. Deep down inside, the sarira is as clean as on the outside. And it's not easy. You know? But being aware of that is important. So Allah's talking about those sara'ir. And over in the Quran, Allah talks about this concept. But we don't pay attention. SubhanAllah, the first verses of the Quran after Fatiha, Surah Al-Baqarah. Listen to this. Alif Lam Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That book, there's no doubt about it, is guidance for the muttaqeen. Who are the muttaqeen? There's a list of things. Number one on the list, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. The translation would be those who believe in the unseen, right? The other translation which is not mentioned, those who believe when they are not seen. SubhanAllah, those who believe in secrecy. When nobody's watching them, they're believers then. Those are the muttaqeen. This is like the ABC of Quran. This is like right at the beginning, it's there. Because it's easy to believe when you are seen in public. Easy to believe when you are on YouTube. You know, and you wait for likes and followers and subscriptions, you know. Very easy. But to have that clean internal state of the heart, that is the real deal. And that's what's going to count. Because Allah said, remember I told you yesterday, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day, your money and your children, all your assets will be of no use. Except what? Except the one who comes to Allah with a qalbin salim, a peaceful heart, a clean heart, a sound heart. So that's, our goal should be to get this heart cleaned up. Externally, you know, today we're so obsessed with external looks and external features and what we look on the outside. Okay, so to some extent that's important, you know. But what's more important is who you really are deep down inside. And the human being has forgotten himself, right? We're concerned about the outside. Allah's reminding us, listen, focus on the inside. And you know, we see in Surah Al-Mulk also, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Those who fear Allah, بِالْغَيْبِ. إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب. Those who fear their master in secrecy. See, this keeps coming up in the Quran, but in the translation you won't catch it. بالغيب will be translated as the unseen, the angels, and you know, Jannah, which is also nice, but it's unfair to the ayah because it's missing the other side of the coin, which is actually more powerful. And then Allah says, on that day, فَمَا لَهُ مِن قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. On that day, he will have no power to do anything to save himself, and no nasir, nobody to help him out. You know, sometimes you try to be Superman, you try to solve the problem on your own, right? That's quwwah. فَمَا لَهُ, Allah is saying, فَمَا لَهُ مِن قُوَّةٍ. That's for yourself. You will have no power, number one. And number two, when you don't have power, what do? You try to seek help from others who you think have power. Concept of shafa'a and, you know, people hooking you up on the day of judgment. Allah is saying, you won't have power for yourself, nor will you have any nasir, anyone to help you out. You're going to be completely helpless from all sides. And so, in the previous surah, we learned about Fir'aun and Thamud. Hal ataka hadithul junood. Remember those professional armies? They were destroyed with sound, water, wind. You know, on the day of judgment, will these professional armies be of any use to Fir'aun? No. So his own power and the people around him, his helpers, will be of no use. And so then this is the second time Allah starts a series of oaths again in the same surah, which is unique, right? We haven't seen this yet. Was-sama'i, again, Allah swears by the sky. Was-sama'i dhat al-raj'a. This is also very profound. Allah swears by the sky that owns a raj'ah. What is raj'ah? It refers to rain when it returns. Allah called it rain that returns, which is interesting, right? Rain falls down. Allah's again a scientific miracle here. What do we learn about rain? How is it originated? Yeah, so the waters evaporated, get collected in the clouds, and then they return back where they were. SubhanAllah. The whole process of photosynthesis, that's what it's called, right? When like water, that's photosynthesis. That's green thing. Yeah, this is like the evaporation cycle of water or whatever. Water cycle. It's depicted in this ayah. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتُ الرَّجْعِ. The sky that holds this rain that's going to return back. And then وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ. And then Allah talks about the earth now. The earth that cracks open. Because when the rain comes down, what happens? The water finds its way through the soil, meets up with the seed cracks open. And then the seed, as it grows, it needs room to come out of the earth. So what happens to the earth now? The earth cracks open. And then the plant comes out. Allah is describing this in this ayah. The cycle, the journey. Now the third journey, right? What was the first journey? No, journey of the traveler, right? Knocking. Second journey was the light, journey of light. Actually, this is the fourth journey. Third journey was what? The journey of the drop of fluid all the way up to the day of judgment. This is the fourth journey now. The journey of that drop of raindrop. Drop of water, as it comes down, returns back to its original place. Actually, the journey started where? On earth, right? Evaporation, clouds, comes down, goes down into, Allah distributes rain wherever. You know, some rain goes on the mountains and the rivers, we also learn from this process that certain lands, the water is able to go down and meet the seeds and plants come out. In other places, in other barren lands, you know what happens? This water is stored underground, which is also important. There's no plants that come out, but water is stored. Why is it stored? So we can drink, we can make wells of it, so that animals can drink from it. So there's two beneficiaries of this whole process now, okay? And so, again, raindrop, lifeless, resulting in life, plants coming out. And we know that from plants, you know, animals eat from the plants, and we eat the animals, and we eat the plants. And so if there was no rain, what would happen to us? We would, game over, right? And cracking open وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدْعِ is also important because the earth, the plants and the seeds, I don't know if you guys know this through farming, but plants need sunlight also. And so if this earth didn't crack open, sunlight would not be able to reach down because you need that oxygen and all that kind of stuff, okay? So farmers, like professional farmers, they would appreciate these ayat. So we saw now different forms of lifelessness coming to life. And subhanAllah, you know, check this out also. Very important and very interesting. Earlier we saw that drop of filthy fluid impregnate the woman and then life would come out. Now we're seeing here that drop of rain, think of the drop of rain as like similar to that drop of sperm that comes falling down, it gushes, pierces through the clouds, enters into the earth and impregnates the earth. The earth becomes pregnant. And then after a certain period of time, the plant comes out, life comes out. SubhanAllah, it's so beautiful, right? Yani, this is deep stuff, guys. And so Allah is making us zoom into this cycle of life. But what's more, this is just a teaser. This is the real deal now. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. This is the conclusion. This is how Allah wraps the surah up beautifully. This, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. Allah is talking about the Qur'an. This speech that you're hearing, لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. No doubt about it, it is قَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. It is speech that separates. Fasl means to separate. Faisal, you guys know any friends named Faisal? Someone who separates, hopefully he's separating falsehood from truth. Yeah. Okay. That's what Faisal means, or Fasl. So many interpretations of Fasl of, so this Quran separates between truth and falsehood. It separates between believers and non-believers, separates between Jannah and Nar. But what I'm going to focus on is another beautiful meaning of this, which is that this qawlun fasl, Allah is actually continuing the same discussion that was previously being described of the journey. Now earlier we saw the drop of rain, right? Drop of rain comes down, life comes out. Similarly, Allah is saying, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ fasl. This qawl that's coming down on you in the form of revelation is similar to that rain. These ayat come down and then they're absorbed by what? By the hearts of the believers. And when the heart benefits from these ayat and there is iman and there is belief, there is taqwa, there is no sara'ir in the heart, then what comes out? Goodness comes out, right? Similar to plants that come out. Because plants are a metaphor for goodness, right? Through plants and fruits. And by the way, interestingly, plants, you know, when rain comes down and plants come out, like sunflowers, right? We don't eat sunflowers. But other animals benefit from sunflowers, right? The bee and all these things. But at the same time, Allah makes these flowers beautiful. Right? Why? Just another reason for us to be thankful and grateful, you know. Another reason for us to say, wow, subhanAllah. That's it, yeah. For us to appreciate this more. And so, we're learning from the rain that Allah benefits us, He benefits others around us, He benefits animals, and He also beautifies things for us. And in the beauty, there is variety. Now, why am I telling you all of this stuff? Because the Quran, similarly, when it comes down, it penetrates the hearts. And there's iman, and there's nurun ala nur. This is what nurun ala nur is. Okay, if the heart is dirty and there's sara'ir, is there going to be nurun ala nur? No, there's going to be reflection. Okay, because there's ran. Remember, kalla bal ran ala qulubihim earlier, because of the denial. It's not going to go through it. And ayatul nur and surah an-nur talks about this in more detail. So you need that clear, clean heart, like the clear glass, so the light can come through. And so when the light comes through and iman comes out, now this is where it gets beautiful. Goodness comes out of the human being. Number one, he becomes good himself as a person, right? He says good things. He's good character, akhlaq. And when you are good, just like that light, what happens? The light spreads. Your goodness attracts others. You know? Just like the Prophet ﷺ, right? He was so attractive as a personality when, you know, before he was a prophet and after, even more, right? That people used to come to him from tribes. Like, people would come and ask, where is this Rasul? I want to see him. I want to meet him. Some people, just by seeing him, they would accept Islam. Right? So this attraction of the character is, so Allah's telling us, listen, focus on yourself, clean your heart, and I will open doors for you. Right? I will bring opportunities. I will make people around you, I will make this goodness spread through you. And so, when this goodness spreads now, who benefits? Number one, the person himself, right? Just like the plants now. Try to connect the two. Just like you benefit from the plants yourself, you benefit from this Quran yourself. Number two, your family benefits, your community, your neighborhood, right? Your nation, this ummah benefits. And another thing is, when this Quran, remember, like the raindrops came, you had varieties of flowers, different colors. Similarly, goodness comes out in us in different ways. You know, the doctor, when the Quran and Iman comes in his heart, he will use his goodness in his field of medicine. The architect will use his goodness in the field of architecture. The accountant will use his field use this nur and this iman in the field of accounting. You see, so it's not black and white. Unfortunately, today we have people who we call them in the box thinkers, right? Who, for them, the world is black and white. They are white, everyone else is black. They are on Sirat al Mustaqim, everyone else is dalal, maghdubi alayhim an dalin. And they have this, license to do takfir, you know? And Sharia police, you know, they have this Sharia police cap on, you know. He is bid'ah, he is kafir, he is munafiq, he is this. You know, for him, world is not colorful. And subhanAllah, these people, they become unattractive. Their character becomes black and white. And human beings don't like black and white, you know. We like color, we like beauty. And so, you know, for such brothers and sisters who, inshallah, have good intentions, right? They probably heard a hadith somewhere or heard an ayah of the Quran and misinterpreted it. Yani. We're calling them back to become colorful again, you know? Just look at these ayat and, yani, remember we said sirat, it's a wide road. Yani, give room to others also, you know? Don't be so selfish. Yani. And so the Quran spreads its beauty in different colors. And, a nice way of looking at it also is like you walking down a garden of fruits. There's multiple trees. There's mango trees, there's banana trees, there's, you know, apple trees and grapes. Now, if I like mangoes, I'm going to go pick my mango tree. I'm going to enjoy it. But does this mean I'm going to cut off the banana tree and the grape tree and the pomegranate tree? You know, you don't cut the rest off, yahi. Maybe the guy behind me likes pomegranate. Let him enjoy it. You can't say, no, don't eat pomegranate. Come, eat mango. You have to eat mango. Haram to eat pomegranate. That's really the attitude of these people, you know, who they don't, like, everything is just black and white. And so, our hearts, you see how everything is connected now? Sara'ir, the hearts clean. The journey of these ayat into our hearts. Another journey now, right? And, you know, through this belief, so much goodness can spread, subhanAllah. Just from these ayat, the power of these ayat. So Allah is saying, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. This is a decisive statement. وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. By the way, I forgot to say, you know, some fruits actually come out to be very harmful, right? Like the cactus plant, and sometimes thorns. So Allah says, interesting in the Quran, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. Very beautiful ayah. Allah through this Quran is saying, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Through this Quran, He misguides many people. And at the same time, through this Quran, يَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. And He guides with this Quran, كَثِيرًا, many. وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And He doesn't misguide with this Quran except who? فاسقين. Who are فاسقين? People who have basically followed their desires and they've, you know, they're basically people who don't have the clean heart. So if you approach the Quran with a intention to find something wrong in it, guess what? You're gonna find it, because you came with that lens of negativity. You're gonna find an ayah that says, yeah, you need to blow yourself up. Yeah, you need to kill people innocent. You're gonna find it, and Allah's gonna misguide you with that. It all depends on what's in your heart, you know. Intention, yeah. So just like plants, some plants are harmful if you eat them. Yeah. Some plants you die if you eat them, right? Yeah, like mushrooms, like poisonous mushrooms. So another beauty of this, that yani, the importance of cleaning your heart before taking this message, because if you go with the wrong approach, then it could be dangerous. وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. And this is not entertainment. This is not useless talk. الْهَزْلِ means something skinny, something weak, something that has no point, right? Useless. So what is Allah saying here? That this Quran is not hazl. It's not weak, and it's not useless. Because you know what happens? Sometimes as we live in the age of YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, Quran becomes like sense of entertainment. Wow, that was amazing talk, man. Mashallah. That speaker was amazing, man. His jokes were so funny, man. Wow. And then what happens after 15 minutes? You go back to your lifestyle and nothing happened. You know, and then 1 month later you hear a nice talk. Wow, amazing. Like, press the like button. Share. And one video after another, and it's just like, you know, watching a TV show for you, Annie, you know. Wow, amazing talk, man. But no change inside. See how Allah knows us inside out, Annie? He knows how we will deal with this Quran. And He's saying, وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. This is not just plain talk, useless talk, man. This Quran is supposed to change you. It's supposed to transform you. It's supposed to bring the goodness out of you. This is supposed to be a source of life. Just like the rain was a source of life, it should be you're supposed to be spreading this. And so it is not just useless talk, interesting talk. Some people say, "Oh, interesting talk was very intellectual," you know. And then Allah, in the final passage, talks to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, this is the consoling at the end. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. Oh, my beloved Prophet, right? إِنَّهُمْ He's talking to them directly. They are surely planning a very big plan. Another way to see this is they are surely planning many plans, many evil plots. And كَيْد means an evil plot, okay? So they surely are planning several evil plots on you. Okay? So is Allah trying to scare the Prophet through this? No, right? He's telling them that again, the theme of secrecy now came again at the end, right? These are evil secrets now and evil plots. That I know all these secret plots they're doing to try to kill you, to try to, you know, discredit this message. But Allah then says, وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. And I have plans also. So you don't need to worry. So indirectly Allah is saying, like the previous surah, I am witnessing, and I have the angels waiting, alaykum as-salam, and you know, don't worry about it. You continue doing what you should do. Continue with the message. Don't worry about the plots. I'll take care of them. They're plotting, I'm plotting also. And so this thing about plotting, just to remind myself and you of this hadith, which is very relevant to our times now, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there will come a time where the nations, right? Kaydan means many plots, right? So nations will be plotting against the Muslims from all sides, as if they'll be having you for dinner, you know? And then the Sahaba asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, why? Were they few in number, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet said, no, there will be many, but they will be insignificant, just like the foam of the sea. وَلَكِنَّمْ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. It will be like that foam. You know, you look at foam. Have you ever seen foam? Like, proper form. It looks big and wow. But is there really anything there? There's nothing there. You know? A fly can come through and like, swim through. So Allah said, there will be many, but they will be so insignificant, just like that foam. And then the Sahaba said, so how come? Why? Why were they like that? So the Prophet ﷺ said, because of حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. They had this disease of wahan in their hearts. Okay? Rasul said, this is because of wahan. Sahaba said, what is wahan, Ya Rasulullah? You know, look at the Sahaba's attitude with the Prophet ﷺ. You know, when they didn't understand anything, they were like, not shy. Should I ask? Should I not ask? Should I raise my hands and ask? It's going to be embarrassing. No. When they didn't understand something, they asked, you know. They wanted to be guided. They wanted to know what's the truth and falsehood. Unfortunately, today, you know, I teach classes and stuff, and students are shy from asking. You know. But then when you give them, okay, write down your question on the paper, everyone's asking like 5-10 questions. You know. So Sahaba asked, what is wahan, Ya Rasulullah? Why are they asking? They want to know this problem, right? It's a serious thing. What do people ask about nowadays? When I'm traveling, can I pray 2 rak'ah, 4 rak'ah? What's the distance of traveling? Can I wipe my feet, like, you know, up till here, or does it have to be up till here? Does my thawb have to be till here, or till here, or till here? Do I stand like this, or like this, or like this? These are the questions being asked, let's be honest. In any TV show, any fatwa show, any radio talk show, right? Or a scholar comes, visits for a talk, youth gather around him, these are the questions that come up. No one asks the scholar, what is wahan? Please explain to us. You know? What is guidance? How can I clean my heart? These questions don't come up. So the Sahaba knew how to ask the right questions. So they asked, what is wahan? The Rasulullah said very simply, not complicated, حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. The love of dunya and the hatred of death. So simple and straightforward. And we saw in the previous surah, right? أما من طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا فإن الجحيم هي المأوى. Remember that guy who transgressed and he favored the dunya over akhirah? فإن الجحيم هي المأوى. وأما من خاف مقام ربه. As for the one who feared standing in front of his master. ونهى النفس عن الهوى. And he prevented his nafs from falling into those sirair. Jihadun nafs, you know, struggling against the nafs. فإن الجنة هي المأوى. This is how simple it is, really. This is it, يعني. But living by it. So إنهم يكيدون كيدا. Now we know why they're plotting. And Allah says, وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. And surely I am planning also. So ignore them. It's not worth your time. And then Allah says, the last thing He says to the Prophet, فَمَهْلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. مَهْل, give them a muhla. Give them some extra time. You know how like the referee, when 45 minutes are over in a soccer match, the referee gives them muhla, 2 minutes, 3 minutes extra time for what? For the fouls and all the corners, you know, and the injuries and stuff. So Allah is telling the Prophet, فَمَهِلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ. Give the kafirin, these disbelievers, some time. Give them some time, it's okay. But then Allah says, رُوَيْدَ at the end. For a while. For a limited period of time. That offer is open, but for a limited period. After which, it's going to be over. So, in other words, don't pray against them, Ya Rasulullah. You know? Don't ask for their destruction. Because if Rasulullah asks for their destruction, what's going to happen? They're going to be destroyed. Remember, in Ta'if, this happened, right? They threw stones at him, and the angels came and said, just one command. And we'll crush the city between the two mountains. But Rasulullah made dua for them, not against them. And so, a lesson for us also. Should we be making dua against the kuffar of today and the disbelievers today, or dua for them? Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, some khutbas, we go there at the end. Allahumma alayka bil kuffar. You know? So, yes, a specific group who are attacking us, the armies, the soldiers who are being oppressive to us, yes, they, yani, no doubt about it, yani, we have this hatred to them. But at the same time, we want them to be guided. That was Rasul's mission. We are, you know, the followers of Rasul's mission, right? So this was his mission. He never had this hatred towards people. Yes, some people, Rasul, I don't want to filter out seerah. Some people, Rasul did say, ya Allah, destroy them. Send him one of the dogs of hellfire. And he went to sleep in a tent. This person who I think he really disrespected the Rasul. He spat on his face or something. Yeah. Very disrespectful. Very, like, this guy, it was game over for him anyway. So Rasul made dua for him. Ya Allah, sent him a dog from the dogs of hellfire. And so he went to sleep in a tent. Allah sent a lion and ate him alive, yani, basically, the next day. Yani. So this is also in seerah. Yani. But it never happened in for the masses. These are certain situations. So some people take this hadith and they apply it to the masses. That's also injustice. Yani. So give them some time. What is Allah saying between the lines to Rasulullah? This surah was revealed in Mecca. Allah is saying, give them some time. In a few weeks, in a few months, you're going to be doing hijrah. You're going to go to Medina. And then, you know, Muhajirin Ansar will come together. You're going to set up a constitution. Then there's going to be Ghazwat Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, Fath Mecca. Then Abu Sufyan will enter into Islam. Allah knows this. That's Allah's plan. Does Rasul know this plan? He doesn't know. So all Allah told Rasul was, I have a plan. Just trust me, yeah. I'll take care of things. I've got it sorted out. Yeah. You continue doing your job. And I have the guardians watching over you. You know? Don't worry about it. So inshallah, with that we conclude. You saw how this was connected to the previous surah? Patience. Shahidin wa mashud, Allah is witnessing. So may Allah make us of those who, inshallah, have clean hearts, and those who, may Allah protect us and help us get over our hidden sins, and make us people who are as good as we are on the outside as we are in the inside. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.